We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 43rd chapter, the 11th Pasuk. The Navi continues, Anochi, Anochi, Adonai. It is I, says the Ribon Shel Olam. I am the source of your hope. I am consistent. The world changes, but I remain consistent. Ve'ein mi baladai Moshiach. None will save you but me, says the Ribon Shel Olam. Your hope is with me. I've saved you before. I'll save you again. But I am the one to turn to. I'm the one, as we saw earlier in the previous psukim, I told you in advance what was coming. This isn't a surprise. We left Mitzrayim, and this week's parasha, Am Yisrael says, Ad Yavor Amecha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzukanita. We have a tradition that at Kriyat Yamsuf, they saw the prophetic vision that they would enter the land of Israel, but they also saw that the first temple would be destroyed. That's why the Gemara discusses in Tractate Shavuos and in Tractate Sota and in many places in Shas. When Yeshua sanctified the land of Israel, did he give it holiness? With the intent that even when the land would be conquered by other nations, it would retain that holiness. When Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, did he give it holiness that would continue even in its destruction? There are two ways to impart holiness onto a place. There's a way to impart it that says, if it will be overtaken, when it will be overtaken by nations, it will lose its holiness. And there's a way of imparting holiness that nothing can remove it. Even if nations overtake it, it wouldn't be removed. So there's a machloket in the Gemara. We have a disagreement, but everyone works with the assumption that Yeshua knew and Shlomo knew that the temple would be destroyed, the land would be overtaken. This isn't a coincidence. This isn't a mistake. The Ribon Shel Olam told us in Az Yashir, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, till Hashem's nation passes into the land of Israel. The first time, Ad Yavor Amzukanita, till the nation of Israel returns to the land of Israel a second time. And in the Navi Zechariah, we learned that when they came the second time, he gave them the prophecy that that too would be destroyed. That there would have to be a third time. And we learned the Rambam that explains that the people knew that also from the prophecies of Yechezkel. Yechezkel describes a Beit HaMikdash when the first one is destroyed. So you'd think he's describing the coming one, the second one. But it doesn't match. No, they knew that would be the third one. So they're building the second, knowing it will ultimately be destroyed.
Didn't they base the second temple's construction on Yechezkel's?
Nope. No? Exactly not, right? Yes, sir.
Would you say that the prior knowledge of the upcoming destruction, which, you know, in 400 years, whenever it was going through the mind, the mentality or the connection that they had to the prophecy was similar to the way, I guess, the majority of Jews would think about the rebuilding today? Meaning, was it when Mashiach comes, okay, when the temple's destroyed, was it on the commoner's tongue, or
I don't know.
When the prophecy was given, did the people who were in the inner circle of the prophet prophesizing the destruction knew about it, but it wasn't the knowledge of the common folk?
Lo yada. I assumed it was. That doesn't mean I'm right. I assumed everyone knew it. They're all saying, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzukanita. So I assumed the masses knew it.
They also said that Moshe wasn't going to come into the land of Israel.
Okay.
Did they understand what they were saying?
Again, I assumed yes. That doesn't mean I'm right. I don't have proof of it. I don't know. Anochi higadti vehoshati vehishmati. Look at the beauty of the words. He's using words that flow into one another. Says the Ribon Shel Olam, Anochi Higadti, I told Avraham Avinu there would be exiles. In my covenant with him, I told him there would be exile after exile. Vehoshati, and I saved you from that exile as I promised. Vehishmati, and I let you know what was your history and what would be your future. Ve'ein bachem zahar. And at that time, no one had doubts. When I took you out of Mitzrayim, no one said, hey, maybe there's the Zeus or whatever God that did all of this. Ve'atem eidai ne'um Adonai v'ani el. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, you are my witnesses. In the Ten Commandments, it begins with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We see a repetition here, Anochi, Anochi, three times the Navi tells them. So you are my witnesses. Ki lo ritem kol timuna, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I showed you as much as can be seen in the world, and you know that I don't have a form. You're not allowed to draw a form and say, that's God. No, I'm not. Atem eidai, you are my witnesses, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, that I gave you the Torah, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I'm not any one of these idols. You are the testimony, the greatest testimony to the Ribbono Shel Olam is Am Yisrael. We're the witnesses. Ah, but what am I witnessing? What did I testify? The truth is we don't know. We know the concept. We don't exactly understand how it worked. I remember when I was a kid, I used to ask this to the Rebbe, and I don't think any of them, maybe they said it and I didn't have the ears to hear it. I said, Rashi says, what Rashi says here, Rashi says over there, that Hashem opened all the heavens, and they could see that there was none other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I said as a kid, well, how did they know there wasn't another heaven? So the Ribbono Shel Olam shows them this much. How did they know there wasn't more? And what does that mean? How do you ever know you've seen everything? What does that mean they saw everything? So the answer is we don't know what that means. Meaning whether to open all the heavens means physically they could see out to all the planets and all the galaxies, or does it mean they had a clarity in their understanding? Is it a metaphor that they reached a clarity that there was no doubt by them that their Ribbono Shel Olam was running the show? To open all the heavens means there was a physical vision they saw, or does it mean they could reach an understanding? Yeah, that's what's called Hashem opened all seven heavens, and they understood that there isn't a specific form. Now, I'm going to add my own pshat here, and again, this isn't doesn't say this, but when we draw a picture, we're doing two things: we're giving ourselves something to connect to, that's paganism, but we're also limiting the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me put him in a box. Let me give him a form. It's biblically prohibited to draw a picture. We understand. I can't draw a picture and say this is God. But conceptually, I also have to understand that I don't have a picture. It's not only the physical thing, don't make an idol. It's also conceptually. Very often we try to corner their Ribbono Shel Olam. I saw they have all these emails on this week, on Wednesday, on the day that Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum was the Parsha of the Mon, so they say, read it, and you'll have good parnasa. So I thought to myself, that's great, I don't have to daven anymore. All right, just do this, and that's it. For the whole year, you're set. Then you have the day of the year that they say to say the tefillah of the Shlah, so that your kids will grow up to be God-fearing people. So I don't have to educate my kids anymore. Why should I pay tuition? I just say that prayer. Everything's great. People try to convince you. Today you can have everything done on autopilot. All you got to do is this, and the world works fine for you. And their Ribbono Shel Olam keeps warning us, it doesn't work that way. Even when you do what's right, 613 mitzvot, you don't know exactly how life will play itself out. Their Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm telling you I'm running the show. I'm telling you this is what's right. I'm telling you this is the right way of life. And you're going to do it, and you still won't understand. It's still not a picture. I'm saying there's a conceptual concept here also, that we cannot put the Ribbono Shel Olam into a little box and say, a big box, and say, here's the system. Do this and everything now will make sense. Everything will work the way you want it to. Hashem created a world where there are challenges, and there's no putting him into picture.
Isn't that what Moshe Rabbeinu asked? Show me your glory.
Right?
And he says, you can't live and see it.
Right?
So you can get a taste maybe, but you'll probably get it wrong. You won't know why I'm merciful, who I'm merciful, and why I'm kind to.
But there's a clarity in understanding that Hashem runs the world, which is what Chazal are saying. You are my witnesses.
Right. Yes, you say. You understand. You don't have questions. You know why Auschwitz? Why Amsuf? Why the slavery in Egypt? When you were Japsuf? Still doesn't mean you understand the reason behind why it happened and everything. You don't have any questions, as you said, that Hashem is running the show and that He's with us.
So that's, so I'm saying, so when Chazal tell us Hashem opened the seven heavens, I'm not sure it means a physical thing. I think it means an understanding.
Because as you rightfully said, who says they're not 700 heavens?
Well, it could be that once we'd see all seven heavens open, we'd understand there was no more. Could be. We don't know what it means.
And also, to understand the way of Hashem, when I mean, that's so far beyond what I think is even... The goal is to do Hashem's will and connect with Hashem, to understand His reasons behind it in this world. Does that make any sense?
So it's a long discussion. It's a huge discussion. Right. It's an important discussion, but yes.
Can you clarify what does it mean that we are the Adim of God?
Our tradition, our existence, we are the testimony. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem gave us the Torah. So
are you saying we're testifying to the nations of the world? Because the other nations of the world want to hear our story.
First of all, I'm not sure that's true. And secondly, maybe it's for ourselves.
Right.
Hashem's saying, you, the Jewish people, are going astray. So Hashem says, you're the witnesses that what I'm saying is true. I've been giving you this from Avraham Avinu onward.
All the nations want to hear our story. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Like the Shabbat, you know, the way the name will be won is world one. I mean, maybe they're not ready to hear it right now, but like Rabbi said, first we got to believe it.
Gam miyom anihu. It wasn't only historical that I am the one who controls the world, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ever since then, I am the one who controls what goes on in the world. No one can save from my hand. If I choose to act, who could hold me back? So says Hashem, I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. It's your fault, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're living the destruction. You're living the exile. Lema'anchem, it's because of you. Shilachti bavela. That's why I had to exile you to Babylon. And Chazal Darshan, the Pasuk, it doesn't say shalachti, it says shilachti. So the word shilachti has multiple meanings. If we wanted to go against Chazal, so the word shilach means to divorce. Chazal say that's not what it means here. Chazal say the word shilachti over here means I was sent. That Hashem exiled Himself. It's not I sent you. Shilichami beito. That's to divorce a wife. Hashem says shilachti. I was sent out to Babylon. I went out to Babylon with you. And from here we see the concept that wherever we're exiled, Hashem says I'm with you. Vehoradti varichim kulam. I took you down to Babylon on rafts. It says they went down on ships. Variach can be a bolt. Bariach can also be the rudder, the stick that gives direction to the ship. So Hashem says, yes, the sailor thinks he's giving direction to the ship with the rudder. But the horadti, I took you down varichim with that rudder. I'm the one guiding the ship. Vechasdim bo'oniyot rinatam. And the kasdim took you down on their ships as they were singing praise to their idols. Look, we conquered the Jews. That's one interpretation in the pasuk. Another interpretation is that the pasuk is describing our redemption. Lemanchem shilachti vavela, I will send on your behalf to Babylon, I will send the Persian Mede Empire to Babylon on your behalf to end this exile. Vohorati varichim kulam, and I will take down the Bavliim, the Babylonians, as the Persians attack them. Vechasdim, the Kasdim will also be taken down. Even though they have a very strong navy, they sing on their ships, I'll take them down. And all of this is lemanchem. You should know I'm making this plan. Yeshayahu is talking before the destruction of the first temple, and according to this interpretation, he's describing, I saved you in the past, and I'll save you this time as well. And it's because of you. And this is a concept we live over and over again. We see that what goes on in the world is Hashem making a plan about where he's going to lead his children. So some people look at it as ISIS had to be in throughout the world. And other people say, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam sent ISIS because the world was mocking all the terror attacks by us. And they kept saying, give them more land for peace. These are, as Rabin put it, the sacrifices of peace when buses would explode in Israel. And the pressure on us to give in when they're killing us right and left. Suddenly the world gets terrorism in their backyard, and suddenly they're singing a different tune. They're voting into office people who are far more right, if we'd call it that. Where's all the liberalism now? Suddenly when it's gunshots being shot, not in Dizengoff, but rather in Paris, then people say a different tune. So the Navi teaches us a perspective that when Hashem has things evolve in the world, even phenomenal political things. I mean, not so long ago, they were talking about a caliphate, right? I don't know how you pronounce that word. Not so long ago, ISIS was saying they're going to conquer all these different territories in the Middle East. And today, they're on the defensive. It's not clear how much is left of them. Something's left of them, right? We got missiles here this week, and they say that they were behind it. But it's a different world. But where's the world? Syria, where's Syria now? Syria was our major enemy. How powerful are they now? I don't know. The army claims they're still very powerful. The Hezbollah is still very powerful. I don't know. But 2 years ago, they said Hezbollah was greatly weakened by ISIS. I don't know where we stand today. But what we do know, the Navi teaches us a perspective. You see everything going on all around? Hashem's planning something. There's something going on, and at the root of it all, at the source of it all, like Paul Johnson, the non-Jew, writes in the introduction to his book, The History of the Jews, that initially he wrote books on the history of the world, and the Jews kept popping up. Wherever things were happening, he saw Jews. And he suddenly realized that you can't cover the history of the world without covering the history of the Jews. So he wrote his book, The History of the Jews. A non-Jew. He says, but I saw everywhere something was happening. It had to do with the Jews. I had to cover the Jews. And that's what the Navi is saying, according to the second chat in Rashi. I'm going to send the Persian Mede Empire to take down the Babylonian Empire, but it's about you. It's about you rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. I don't know what Trump's job is. I also don't know what Jared Kushner's job is. But we've seen this type of scene play itself out in world history, where there was a leader and suddenly he had a Jewish advisor who had to say something, like the story of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is the butler of the king. But Nehemiah is going to tell the king, you know, we want a Beit HaMikdash. And according to the Prima Gadim, that's the whole story of Purim as well. The story of Purim is the hidden theme of how this Jewish queen is going to come to power and ultimately going to lead to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. The Prima Gadim says the celebration of Purim is the celebration of the war against Amalek that has to precede the building of the Beit HaMikdash. First, Lamalshinim Alti Tikva, Kol Arisha Kerega Toved, and then Ala Tzadikim, the Tzadikim have to grow, and then Vili Yerushalayim Ircha, and Etzemach David, there's an involvement. Coming back to here, the Navi is saying, I'm going to take down the Babylonian Empire, and you should know it's about you. It's about your future coming back. And we're up to Pasuk Tet Vav.